John 10, we'll begin at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but he climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and they follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then John gives us a little commentary on this parable or this riddle that Jesus has just expressed. He says, this figure of speech, or the word can be this parable, this riddle, this enigma, this allegory even, Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let's pray. God, my prayer is that you will fill us, men, women, boys, and girls, with the Holy Spirit of God, that it would not be said of us today that we too do not understand what you are saying here. As a reminder of our absolute dependence upon grace, to know you, to know the true shepherd, to hear your voice, to follow you. Oh God, give us ears to hear, hearts to obey. And those who are not yet your sheep, oh God, call them today. All glory be to Christ. Amen. The year was 1999. I was deployed with the 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit, known in Marine Corps parlance as the 24 Mew. Our deployment was interrupted. We had visited a lot of ports and had a lot of fun. But as sometimes happens, our deployment was interrupted by a little war. Most people don't remember much about it. I do, just because I happen to be caught up in part of it. The nation of Yugoslavia, led by Slobodan Milosevic, invaded its neighbor, a smaller neighbor to the south, the small country of Kosovo. Yugoslavia was supposedly, at least they billed themselves as a Christian nation, and Kosovo is a Muslim nation. But I'm here to tell you that the atrocities foisted upon the people of Kosovo by the Yugoslav army were not just war crimes according to the United Nations, but they were crimes against God Almighty. And so I found myself early one morning trying not to upchuck into my helmet like some other guys around me already had, as I flew in a CH-53 helicopter, nap of the earth. You military guys knows what that means, under the radar, over the mountains of Greece. They had denied us permission to use their airspace. Greece did, for what good it did them. And so there we were. If you think a CH-53 big helicopters can't maneuver, I promise you it's better than any carnival ride you've ever been on. Somehow kept my breakfast down, and then we landed almost serenely, certainly surreally, in this lush sheep pasture just outside of a little town right on the Kosovo-Macedonia border, Tigrane, Macedonia. Our two companies of Marines that were attached to us did what they did do. They came out running, ready to gun, not knowing what to expect, set up a good defensive perimeter, and then all of us non-warrior types, I was a supply officer, So I let the infantry guys, you know, make sure we were safe. And then I and the communications officer, my friend Derek, with me, we went ahead and hopped off the helicopter after we were told all was safe and well. Turns out all was apparently not safe and well, because when I got off of that helicopter with my buddy Derek, we were greeted by the largest dog I have ever seen. If I'm lying, I'm dying. This dog had the head of a grizzly bear. Its head was like this. Its ears were mangled and torn to scars. You can't imagine a dog that looks this terrifying. Turns out it was a sheep dog. It belonged to a shepherd. And it was coming at us quite fiercely and quite fast. And Derek kept looking at me as this thing keeps running at us, keeps barking, keeps running, keeps barking. And the flock is behind the dog. And Derek's like, "What are you going to do, man?" So I'm like, "I know exactly what I'm." That dog was about 10 yards from us. And I said, "If that thing takes one more step, I'm putting one in its running lights." And out of nowhere, this shepherd runs and throws himself on his knees between me and the dog, even with my pistol pointed at him. And of course, I put my pistol away quickly. He was no danger to us. There was a massive language barrier, but after a few minutes, we understood what he was saying to us. He was begging us not to shoot his dog. And he was saying, "If you come no closer, it's fine. This dog kind of has a boundary in mind." So we kind of understood what he was meaning. We backed away, and all was well. About an hour later, as the sun got a little bit higher in the sky, I watched out of that little village below us of Chagrani, three or four shepherds start calling with their voice. And these sheep came out of the village following them, and they each went a different direction throughout the countryside. To tell you that that encounter was surreal is a massive understatement. It was my first encounter with shepherds, real shepherds. Now, I mean no offense to you folks who raise sheep here. Right? I just mean like real shepherds, right? The way we do sheep here, like you got them in a nice little fenced-in pen with lush barns. No. I mean real shepherds. Their lives and livelihood literally bound up with these sheep. It was like something right out of the Bible for me. In fact, yeah, it was right out of John 10. It was like watching so much of what I'd heard and learned in the Bible all my life start to make more sense to me. You see, if we're going to understand what Jesus says here, we're going to have to understand a little bit about how ancient shepherds in Palestine operated. And I saw a little bit of it there, but there are some differences. And I'll have to say, not just the commentaries I read, but this book by Dr. Kenneth Bailey has been so helpful to me, The Good Shepherd, A Thousand-Year Journey from Psalm 23 in the New Testament. If you're interested at all in those kind of things, I highly commend it to you. But I've learned that shepherds in those days normally didn't have large flocks. It was small families, small family flocks that just was part of how they made a living. Usually a son or a daughter, the youngest sons, or sometimes if there were no sons, the daughters would be the shepherds for the family's flock. And then in the evening, they would bring them, in, at least in certain seasons, back to the village. And they had a communal or a village pen where all of the small family shepherds led their flocks and put them in there at night, and they would pay someone to guard the gate. It would be under a house on stilts with walls and only one gate, one entry point, or it could just be a pen that they built with 5 to 6 foot walls, sometimes laced with thorns and glass, to try to keep the sheep safe at night. And then in the mornings, each family shepherd would arrive there at the gate. And the gatekeeper would open the gate, and each shepherd would begin to call out his little flock and lead them out into the countryside for grazing, for water, for the day. Now that is very much like what I saw in Macedonia. And that is exactly the scenario Jesus is describing in John 10. Would have made perfect sense to his audience in those days. We need a lot of backdrop because we just don't see this. It's not how we live. We don't experience these kind of things. And that is exactly the flow I want you to keep in mind as over the next several weeks we travel through John 10 together. From the village pen, called out by the shepherd, led out into the countryside. And so when we get to verse 7 and following, the setting will then be the countryside. But here in the first six verses, that communal village pen is the painting, if you will, that Jesus gives us the picture. But there's another thing going on here that you dare not miss. You got to lay some backdrop. John 10 is also giving us a new way, a different way to understand what just happened in John 9. Don't miss it. A blind sheep just received its sight. And because that miracle was performed by the true shepherd Jesus, those who called themselves the shepherds of Israel, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the scribes, the so-called shepherds of Israel, castigated and cast out that sheep. But the true shepherd, Jesus, he went searching for that lost, lonely sheep. And as he always does, he found his lost sheep, and he saved his lost sheep, and he called his sheep to himself. Meanwhile, the so-called shepherds of Israel continue to revile and reject Jesus as the true shepherd of God's sheep. And they claim all the while that they're the ones that have good shepherd vision. That's how John 9 ends. Jesus says, "You think you see." And that's the problem. You're too blind to know you're blind. They are rejecting and reviling Jesus, and they also reject and revile his sheep. What they're doing only serves to further the case that Jesus began to make against them back in John 8:47. If you remember there, he said, "He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason that you do not hear them, because you're not of God." And doesn't verse 6 just confirm it? Chapter 10, verse 6. They still don't understand. And who Jesus is still very much the center of the debate. If you look at John 10, verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" You see the connection? John 9, John 10. This is still our context and our backdrop. You tell me who's blind and who sees. With that backdrop now in place, I have a very simple outline for you this morning. It seems obvious to me, I would say even to the most casual observer, that this passage, in fact, this chapter is about really just one thing, the true shepherd. And so I want to present two truths from our five verses here today about the true shepherd. He's contrasted with charlatans. I've titled the sermon of Shepherds and Charlatans. Charlatans are phonies, they're fakes, they're make-believes. Jesus calls them sheep stealers, and he goes on to call them sheep slaughterers. The true shepherd's being contrasted with them. The difference could not be more striking, and the importance for you today could not be more urgent. If you look at verse 10, you'll see what's at stake here for your own life, for your own soul. You can continue to follow charlatans. You might even follow yourself as your own Lord, your own Savior of your life, your own ruler, your own king. Well, you're nothing more than a charlatan. There's only one true shepherd. And that will get you destroyed, Jesus says. But Jesus, the true shepherd, has come that you might have life. You might have it abundantly, overflowingly, to the full. That's what's at stake for every single one of you. So may God give you ears to hear. Two truths about the true shepherd this morning. Number one, the true shepherd receives the sheep legitimately. Or we might say legally or lawfully. Look with me again at the first few verses of chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you. Remember, that's Jesus' formula to, in the Marine Corps, they would go. That's what the instructors did to let you know. Take a note. This is going to be on the test. Okay? When Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, wake up. Pay attention. This is on God's final exam. He who enters the sheepfold, not by the door, but he climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The true shepherd, you see, receives his sheep legitimately. Again, the setting is that village pen that has multiple flocks belonging to multiple shepherds, but it has only one gate. It's designed to keep the sheep safe at night. And so anyone who had to sneak in or climb over is obviously not legit. It's a thief, a robber, a charlatan, not a shepherd. He cares not for the sheep, and he certainly cares not for the shepherd and his family. He is willing to steal his livelihood and in the process risk injury to himself, which is really foolish. My dad taught me growing up, a wise man risk his life when he has to. A courageous man, he would say sometimes, risk his life when he has to. A foolish man risk his life when there's no need for it. I mean, why not just go get a real job and buy your own sheep, dude? Seeing a lot of this in our own nation. Absolute foolishness. Thieves, robbers. But in the process of climbing over that wall that was laced with glass and thorns and all kinds of stuff that were designed to keep people out and keep the sheep in, the sheep is going to get injured too. How are you going to get a sheep over that wall without cutting it to shreds? He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't care about the shepherd and his family and his livelihood. So don't lose the picture. Don't lose the flow. This is Jesus' teaching in the immediate aftermath of the Pharisees excommunicating the man born blind who received his sight twice by the true shepherd. The Pharisees were supposed to be the religious gatekeepers of Israel. They were to feed and lead God's flock, to give them the pure, undiluted law of God and entrust them only to faithful teachers. And yet, the true shepherd of Israel now stands among them, seeking and saving the lost sheep. And they hate him, they reject him, they revile him, and they want him dead, and they want his sheep dead too. We can go, and we will as we journey through John 10, to so many Old Testament passages. But I ask you just to turn to one this morning. Old Testament prophet Zechariah, almost at the end of your Old Testament. Turn to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah 10. Second to last book in your Old Testament. Zechariah 10. The people of Israel have been given justice by God, and Zechariah's day. They've been exiled. And they've given their hearts to idols, false gods. Verse 1 of Zechariah chapter 10, ask rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain, from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation in the field. For the household gods utter nonsense. That's who they've been praying to, you see. The household gods utter nonsense, and the diviners see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolation. Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. My anger is hot against the shepherds, and I will punish, the ESV says, the leaders, but it's literally, I will punish the male goats. They're being led by goats, you see, not sheep, not shepherds of the sheep. And then in chapter 11 of Zechariah, in verse 4, God tells the prophet that he is to become the shepherd of the flock, doomed to slaughter those who buy them, verse 5, slaughter them and go unpunished. And those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I have become rich, and their own shepherds have no pity upon them. Go all the way to the end of chapter 11 and you see this in verse 17, woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. The Old Testament's full of this kind of language. The true shepherd now stands before these so-called shepherds, and he's making a distinction. The true shepherd receives the sheep legitimately. He's not a charlatan. He's not a thief and a robber. No worries. Jesus knows the gatekeeper. No worries about thieves and robbers and phonies and false shepherds. Jesus is the true shepherd and he knows the gatekeeper. The ultimate gatekeeper of the sheep, of course, is God the Father. And let me tell you, he only and always opens the gate for God the Son. Can I say it again? God the Father, the gatekeeper of all of his sheep, he only and always opens to God the Son, the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has already taught us in John's gospel that he receives his sheep legitimately from the gatekeeper, God the Father. John 6, 37. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And him who comes to me, I will for no reason cast him out. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Verse 45. Everyone who hears and learns of the Father will come to me. Verse 65. This is why I told you no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. When we get to John 17 and look at the high priestly prayer before Jesus goes to the cross, you're going to hear that phrase, given to me, you gave them to me. They're mine because you gave them to me and I'm keeping them and you gave them to me. Over and over and over. Jesus receives his sheep legitimately. I want you to notice in the little parable that Jesus tells here in John 10 that it is assumed that the shepherd already owns the sheep. Do you see that in the text? The gatekeeper recognizes him as the legitimate owner of the sheep and therefore opens to him. And the text says he calls his own sheep. You see that? The ownership is assumed. It exists already. So it's recognized by any gatekeeper worth his salt. It's also recognized, however, by the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. And that leads us to the second truth of the true shepherd. The true shepherd relates to the sheep intimately. He receives the sheep legitimately and he relates to the sheep intimately. His sheep hear his voice, we're told. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, verse 4, he goes before them and they follow him. Why? For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him. Why? Because they do not know the voice of strangers. So simple. So true. So applicable to me and you. The true shepherd relates to the sheep intimately. The relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, as Jesus describes it here, is definitely two-way, isn't it? But I want to argue that really, for the rest of the chapter, the dominant role is that of the shepherd. The leading role, if you will, is that of the shepherd. And so I want to present to you four things about the way the shepherd relates to his sheep. And I'm going to take them in two pairs. So firstly and secondly, do you see the true shepherd's distinct call and his distinct care? He has a distinct call. He calls his own sheep by name. And they recognize it. They know his voice. They follow his unique call. I saw this before my very eyes in Macedonia. The shepherds had their own little yodel, sounded like to me. And the sheep would gather into flocks around their shepherd as he yodeled. They were all yodeling at the same time. But the sheep knew. And then they led them out to the countryside. His call is distinct. His voice is distinct to the sheep. We might even say it's secret and somewhat mysterious. Isn't that how Jesus described it to Nicodemus, being born again? It's like the wind. You hear it. You don't know where it's come from. Can't control it. Don't know where it's going. So it is, he said, with everyone who's born of the Spirit. Seems to be the same kind of dynamic at work here. But this shepherd that Jesus describes, he goes above and beyond what normal ancient Palestinian shepherds would do. He calls his own sheep by name. It's an individual call, an individual relationship. He knows each sheep individually and cares for them intimately and personally. He calls them by name. This was not a normal practice among ancient Palestinian shepherds, according to the sources that I researched. Every now and then they might name one, but certainly it was not something that they did all the time. Every single sheep known by name, the shepherd calls them by name. Now, you and I like to think of our own names. When I got saved, I wouldn't have described it that way then, but I can see it now. God landed on me personally in great power in such a way that I was absolutely compelled irresistibly to own myself a sinner and cry out for mercy from the Savior Shepherd who is Jesus. But I've come over time to realize that if Jesus really called me by my name then, and sometimes I'm sad to say even now, by what name would he call me? By what name might he call you? Oh, we like to think of ourselves very highly, right? Because that's what sheep do, I guess. They're just kind of dodos. I wonder if to any of us today, if you just get still in your heart and mind, you might hear the voice of the true shepherd saying, come here, prideful. Come to me, arrogant. Hey, selfish. Get over here. Hey, boastful. Hey, lazy. Hey, fearful. Come to me. Well, we could go on. Maybe you, if you're honest, you have your name picked out now. But here's the beauty of the true shepherd. We'll see this as we travel more into John 10 and John's gospel, but he loves to give his sheep new names. He puts his name on his sheep, so much so that they really can't be separated. You're now known by the name of the shepherd. Isn't that good news? Because all of us have a name we really wouldn't like to name out loud in this present company, would we? But he gives you a new identity, a new name when he makes you his sheep, really his own name. You are no longer Simon. From now on, you'll be called Peter. You're not Abram anymore. From now on, you're Abraham. You're no longer Jacob, the usurper, the thief, the huckster. No. Now, you're Israel, one who struggles with God. Oh, I want you to know the sheer joy of being called by name by the true shepherd, given a new name. His distinct call, his distinct care. When he has brought out some of his own, is that what your Bible says? If it is, you got a bad translation. Get a new translation. When he has brought out all of his own, not one's left behind. Not one sheep of Jesus will be left behind. That's good news, because if it were left up to me, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. He won't leave one of his sheep behind. He's bringing them all out. This is one of those times where the word all means all without exception. Every single last one of his sheep, he brought them all out, and then he goes before them. And so, thirdly and fourthly, I want you to see his distinct courage and his distinct control. He leads them out. He goes before them. I guess I got military illustrations on my mind this morning, but it takes courage to walk point when there's a war raging around you. You're probably going to be the one to step on the mine or to take the first bullet. That's what it means to walk point. Now, Western shepherds, the kind of shepherds that I observed in Macedonia that day, they use huge dogs that are the size of bears to fight off wolves. And the dog does the corralling, and they drive their sheep from behind. I actually watched them do that. And the dog kind of goes ahead and does its thing. But that's not the way the Palestinian shepherds would do it. They didn't have dogs. They didn't use dogs. They led their sheep. They walked ahead of their sheep. The shepherd then is the dog, so to speak. He's the protector of the sheep. He's watching the ridge lines as he goes before his sheep for danger of any kind. He's the one that's willing to walk point and take the bullet, if you will. So he's guarding and leading and protecting the sheep, and he's finding the good pasture, and he's locating the good water. He beds them down, and he gets them up. He guards their every move. Are you seeing the distinct courage, the distinct control that the shepherd has over his sheep? Are you thinking now of Psalm 23? Oh, we'll visit it many times in the weeks ahead. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Distinct control. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, or he brings me back. It can literally be translated, causes me to repent. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's already walked the valley, you see. He goes before the sheep. He has a distinct call. Have you heard it? A distinct care. Have you experienced it? He's distinctly courageous. He has distinct control. Does this resonate with you at all? I pray so. Now, what of the sheep in the last few minutes we have together this morning? What of the sheep? Well, I mean, their job couldn't be more simple. What does the text say they do? They hear the shepherd and they heed the shepherd. Some of these kids are learning to hear and heed shepherds. A little bit of parental shepherd training going on right now. Hear the shepherd. Heed the shepherd. Can I put it this way? The sheep of the true shepherd, they find the true shepherd and they follow the true shepherd. Find him, follow him, find him, follow him. Over and over and over. Over and over. Day in, day out, moment by moment. Find him, hear his voice, heed his voice. Find him, follow him. And then fear and flee from charlatans. Fear and flee from fakes, from phonies. Really that simple. That's exactly what Jesus says the sheep do. They hear his voice. They follow because they know his voice. They will not follow stranger voices. They don't know them. They'll flee from them. Now friends, we'll say a lot more about this as we progress through this chapter. But it needs to be said probably every sermon, certainly now. With all of the false gospels out there today, prevailing in our land, and we're exporting them, as we've heard from our missionaries, all over the world, prosperity gospel being an example. With all the false gospels, with all the so-called shepherds, preachers, receiving so-called extra biblical revelation, fresh words from God, I tell you, we'd better root ourselves solely, singularly in the voice of the shepherd as it has been preserved for us providentially by God down through the centuries. How do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Well, God's given it to you. You don't need to look anywhere other than here. Here's his voice. I heard his voice today. You heard his voice today. You heard him say, truly, truly, I say to you. Anyone who enters a sheepfold, not by the door, but climbs in the other way, that man is a thief and a liar. But the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. That's the voice of the shepherd. If you want to know why I will not, until my dying breath, stop encouraging you and every Christian who will listen to me to pick up your Bibles and read it. Read it. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Start Bible studies in your nursing homes, in your schools, after hours clubs, in your workplaces. Get in the Word of God and stay there. Soak it up. Saturate yourselves in it. Meditate upon it. Memorize it. This is the voice of the shepherd. How can you know the shepherd's voice if you don't ever expose yourselves to it? Talking to a young man recently who started reading and hearing the voice of the shepherd a lot more, and he's amazed at what God is exposing in him and convicting in him and how he's being changed. Oh, I know it sounds so simple, doesn't it? That God would save and sanctify and one day glorify you simply by the voice, the very words of the shepherd. Take him up on it. Take God up on it and see if he doesn't absolutely radically alter your life day after day as you listen to his voice as it's recorded in his word. We better know the real thing if you want to recognize the counterfeits. And I mean that even for myself. You better be checking what I say against the voice of the shepherd. And if I misstep and contradict the shepherd, please let me know, because I would like to publicly repent of that. I have no desire to say anything, to teach you anything that would lead you away from the voice of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But to only be in concert with his voice, to imitate him, to be like him, to truly be his under shepherd. Now, here's the deal. Back in the sheep pasture of Chigrani, Macedonia, we got bored after a few weeks because the war was quick. And we were supposed to be building refugee camps for thousands of refugees that never showed up. So there we were. Bored Marines, bad. So we realized that, hey, you know what? When the shepherds get their flocks in the mornings and because they had to funnel past us to go out into the countryside, we discovered that if we made loud noises or screamed at them or said things to them, the sheep would just, it was chaos. It was utter chaos. I mean, they'd just scatter, freak out, and run away. I mean, I'd be like, ah! And they just, oh, just everywhere, sheep scattering. The shepherds were not amused by our discovery that just our voices would throw them into all kinds of panic. Is that true of you when it comes to your intimate relationship and knowledge of the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, and his voice as it comes through his word? I wonder in this new year what it would do for us if we would just start paying attention to everything we do, every moment we spend, and ask a question: is this particular activity helping me hear the voice of my shepherd more clearly? Or is it confusing me? Is it distracting me? Is it in any way of everlasting impact to me? I wonder how it might change the trajectory of our lives this year. I'll tell you one thing, we'd spend a lot less time messing around with these foolish things. Now, I know you can have your Bible on this. I get it. I'm still going to argue you ought to spend more time in this kind of Bible. Your brain works differently. You got science to back it up, but don't get me started on that. Every activity, just wonder if we ask this year, is this helping me and my family, my wife, my children, is this helping me help my neighbors hear the voice of the shepherd more clearly? Or is this really, if I'm honest, throwing me into a panic? Just making me harassed like I don't have a shepherd. God help us. Jesus is going to expand in the verses ahead on the three big themes of the first five verses here. He's going to expand upon the door or the gate, on the shepherd, and then the sheep. So keep that in mind as I hope you read John 10 multiple times in weeks ahead so that you start to hear the voice of the shepherd. I love in verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You see the priority? It's legit for me to ask, do you know the true shepherd? But the more important question is, does he know you? Has he called you out by name? Has he brought you out as one of his own? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What if you came to Jesus as a beggar today? Make me one of your sheep. Make me to hear and know your voice. Please mark me among those that are known by you. I think he promised. You come to him that way, he will not cast you out. Lord, help us. We want to be sheep of the true shepherd so that we won't be destroyed in the end, slaughtered even by our own foolishness. Penetrate through the chaos and the clutter of our busy, distracted lives. Help us hear your voice, that we might know you and be known by you. That we might follow you, Lord Jesus, the only true shepherd of God's sheep. We thank you for coming in fulfillment of Psalm 23 and Jeremiah 34, Ezekiel 33, and so many other passages, Zechariah 10 and 11. Thank you for coming as the door and the good shepherd. We love you. We thank you for loving us, just dumb sheep. Just dumb sheep. With no hope except for our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.